There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
You want to
keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 380, October 1st, 2009. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly Podcast brought to you by the Northern California Jim Russell Rotax Challenge and Marin Karting. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And, of course, Marin Karting and the Northern California Rotax Challenge is something we follow and cherish on a daily basis. On today's program, Ferrari announced that El Macho Hombre de España is now with Ferrari. Kimi to go back to McLaren. Toyota look to be done. Then, of course, Motorsports Mondial with Nasser Hamid, the guru of motorsports passion. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you today?
Wonderful. And how are you yourself, Mr. Rogers?
I'm doing okay. I'm a bit exhausted. Keeping up with the rat race here in the San Francisco Bay Area. But other than that, I guess the good news for people in Spain, I mean, this rumor's been going on for, what, a millennia? But it's done.
It's almost been going on since the day he signed with Renault.
Yes, but it's over. He has signed with Fernando Alonso, is now teammates to Felipe Massa at Ferrari for the 2010 season. And there you have it. I mean, it's done. It's over with. Kimi Raikkonen saying his goodbyes as we speak. Returning the keys to the free Enzo. And, of course,
but they're throwing him out right now. So this weekend it's
going to
be a different
car. There's a lot of paperwork involved here. They're Italians. It's probably just as bad as the Pentagon. So there you have it. There's going to be some teary eyes in Finlandia. But in the end, I'm glad this is over with. We've just been babbling about this rumor for so long.
It's been 2 years. It pretty much started last year.
Right.
And, it was like, oh, he's going. And it was like, well, let's go next year. No, wait, it's going 2009. And it's like, come on. Either just let it go until it happens.
Well, the gavel has come down. The auction is over. And he is gone. Of course, it's not confirmed, but Robert Kubica will replace him at Renault. And
you mean they're not going to bring back Yarno?
I don't think so. And I just want to let all the listeners know that, yes, I will still be a Renault fan because they are my people.
Because they're the only French team on the grid.
Exactly. But I wish Fernando Alonso all the luck in the world. F1 Weekly certainly will be rooting for him at Ferrari if Renault's not doing well. And, of course, we certainly hope they beat McLaren and Braun and everybody else, except for Renault.
I'm thinking that next season you're going to see next season will be a bounce-back season for Ferrari. It's typical for
absolutely
them to kind of be down 1 year and then up the next. And usually, like this season, a lot of it had to do with the new cars and the fact that they really didn't put that much effort in because they were trying to get Felipe his championship.
Exactly. Quickly, I want to say that Ferrari team principal Stefano Domenicali made a point of thanking Kimi Raikkonen, who most believed to be McLaren bound for 2010. And, of course, they say that they loved him. They wish him all the best.
Won a world champion, driver's championship.
Absolutely.
And not only that, they love him so much, they're going to actually pay him not to drive for them.
Well, not only that, but I think Santander is going to help pay for some of that bill. The sponsor, who of course has followed Fernando's career, and so there you have it. I think that's all. I think it's good news for everybody, and not only that, but it's good news for the other drivers trying to get a drive because it's completely out of control. And of course, Fernando Alonso was the linchpin.
Well, he's kind of the lead domino, and now
the domino has fallen.
So the rest of them should begin to fall into place.
Exactly. And of course, we have some people, some drivers that will be shaking in their booties. And of course, that would be the other Finnish driver, Heikki Kovalainen.
Heikki's definitely on the hot seat at McLaren, especially with the rumors saying that Kimi's coming back and the fact that Martin Wishmarsh has said that I want the best drivers I can get. And if he can get Kimi Räikkönen for probably, he's probably going to get him for 10 or 11 mil. You know, so hey, that's a pretty good deal.
Absolutely. So I'm happy for Kimi because he has no lag time. He can just jump right back. Sort of like Fernando going back to Renault after McLaren. Kimi goes back to McLaren.
Actually, I think it'll actually be culture shock for Kimi to go back to McLaren because it's going to be such a completely different team than it was when he was there.
Well, but Kimi doesn't notice anything. He's just going to ask for his ice creams, his Finlandia, and that's it.
The keys to his Mercedes, and he'll be on his way.
Exactly. And they'll ask him, you know, do you want to talk to Lewis? And he'll say, no, I'm done. I've got to go get in my gorilla suit. For some party somewhere. So, yeah, I mean, Kimi's going to do fine because he's not a chatterbox. He's not social. So it's perfect.
And you know, maybe he's the life of the party in the back of the garage.
I do know a few things, but those, you know, Kimi told me not to say anything. So that's the way
what
it
happens
is.
On the yacht stays on the yacht.
But Kimi has insisted that his parting from Ferrari was of mutual consent.
I think that ultimately for Ferrari, they wanted to get Fernando in and they needed to do it this year. They couldn't wait another year because odds were that Fernando would get locked up in another longer contract, which would keep him away from them for more than the year.
Well, the person I really feel sorry for is Felipe Massa. Still has no world championship, hoping to have a world championship. And he just got text today saying that his new teammate is Fernando Alonso.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, when you get back...
I mean, it's almost cruel.
Almost. But I think that Felipe can keep up with Fernando, especially in a Ferrari. You know, he was pretty reasonably competitive with Kimi. He basically outraced him last year and was doing reasonably well against him this year, outside of the mistakes the team was making. But it'll be interesting to see him and Fernando race in equal equipment.
We'll see. Felipe might not be in tip-top physical condition.
My bigger concern is Ferrari jumping the gun by letting Kimi go when they don't really know whether or not they've got Felipe back.
But then they have
Fernando's favorite number two,
Giancarlo Fisichella. I mean, is this some kind of script?
Yeah, you start to wonder. If Felipe can't drive, we're going to really be scratching our heads going,
have we seen this before?
The race gods work in mysterious ways.
They do work in mysterious ways, but we'll see what happens. But there's some funny stuff going on over there in Scuderia.
No, leave it to the Italians.
There you have it. So anyway, I'm happy for Kimi as well. I think he'll be fine. He's getting all the millions of dollars, which is really what he really is focused on.
Well, ultimately, it comes down to the fact that he raced, the first 5 years of his Formula One career for free because of all the money he had to pay to the agents who got him there?
That's true. 20%. So his agents took a lot of money, but that's Formula One, Stephen. And, you know, my agent takes a lot
of money.
Yeah, I think
he got 20%. They took the other 80%.
Probably. You're probably right. I was being kind. The other big rumor, Toyota still look like they might pull out. They told both of their drivers, go find work.
Yeah, I think that they're of the mind that if they stay, they don't want the driver lineup that they've got now. You know, everything we keep hearing, one week they're in, the next week they're out, the next day they're in, the next day they're out. It's going to be a hard decision for Toyota to stick around, but I have a feeling with the economy kind of starting to turn, they may be of a different mind by the beginning of next season.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. They just had Toyota just had a recall for floor mats in their cars.
Yeah, but that's basically just take the damn things out and you're safe.
I know,
it's
but
not,
still,
it's not like it was going to
3.8 million cars. It's ridiculous. Toyota's had a slew of bad karma, and I think they'll pull out in November. Caputne fini terminado.
Interesting.
Well, we'll see what happens. The other big news, apparently there's a deal in the works. And this stuff just blows my mind every day. Is Rubinho is going to go to Williams to replace Nico Rosberg, who will go to Braun. Now, I mean, and I love the old men of the sea. You know, Trulli, Rubinho, I mean, Mark Martin. They've had a great year.
Frankly, if Rubinho's going to go anywhere, he should be moving to NASCAR because that's where you race until you're 50.
Well, if Rubinho's going anywhere, he should be walking around the four-legged Rubinho in the pasture. I mean, why would Frank Williams want to hire somebody this long in the tooth?
No, that well, you probably can get him cheap.
Well, but, yeah, but I mean, we've got David Coulthards out there that are ready for the picking.
Yeah, and there's so much talent available. But maybe it's, you know, if, as we've heard, Nico Hülkenberg is going to be in the number one seat at Williams. Maybe they want a hyper experienced driver
that's
to help
the
with the car. And but still, even there, I can think of there are probably several other drivers that are about half as long in the tooth that would serve that purpose just as well.
Absolutely. So I find that very puzzling why Frank Williams would want somebody of that era, which, I mean, that's almost the right word to use.
Yeah, because he's pushing 20 years in the sport.
Well, 16 for sure, 17, it's out of control.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm very bewildering. And what I don't understand is, Rubinho, why don't you just bow out on top? You've had a great season.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, and you still at this point have an opportunity to win the Drivers' Championship. And what I'm sure his argument is that I still got it.
Well, yeah, but Schumacher still had it, even though he was forced out by Ferrari at gunpoint.
Practically.
But still. I don't know. I have a hard time with these things. But nevertheless, more power to the old men.
Yeah, make us feel younger.
Of course. So it's the big wind down. We're going to Suzuka. And what's nice about going to Suzuka, now that we know Fernando is wearing red and we have a few things settled, it'll be a little calmer in the paddock. Suzuka is going to be totally exciting. Red Bull still has a mathematical chance. Of course, a lot of people saying if Red Bull just falls apart, it looks like Jenson Button, if everything lines up, the planets, the moons, and the abalone in the sea, that he could actually wrap up this championship this weekend. That's pretty exciting. People.
Can he actually do that mathematically,
yep,
even with Rubinho as close as he is?
Yep. Because Rubinho will say, I am number two. You are number one.
Basically, it comes down to Braun finishing the race, ultimately, and basically not allowing, you know, basically not giving away the free 10 by not finishing for Sebastian Vettel, because we know he'll be pushing as hard as he can go.
Or they could both crash and burn. Could be a 1-2 for Red Bull, and the whole thing starts all over again.
Kind of, but Mark Webber's been eliminated, so.
He has been eliminated, but not Sebastian Vettel. So we'll see what happens. I'm pretty pumped up about it. We'll see.
I'm actually interested to see the changes because supposedly they've redone it since the last time we were there. And
the changes are going to be mild because Suzuka is a pretty machismo circuit.
Yes, definitely.
I mean,
in Formula One, it's Bernie fixes. You know, they enlarged the garages and enlarged the paddock club and, you know, got Bernie his own monster suite that he can sell tickets to so he can make even more money.
And, of course, toiletries and everything,
yeah, exactly.
Gold leaf, the appropriate stuff for Formula One personnel. Other than that, I'm really excited. Back-to-back races. Any thoughts on Suzuka? Who do you think is going to win? Weather-wise, what is your investigative open mind told you?
Well, this weekend, I haven't heard anything about the weather, but I'm guessing that the McLaren's going to be strong again. It's going to be a track that probably suits them reasonably well. The Bronze will probably be in the hunt. I would like to see the Red Bulls at least put up a fight. Last weekend was pretty kind of, it was pretty sad to actually have Mark Webber out of the race because of brakes. And then you know, Fernando could sneak in there and get himself
there.
The podium.
You go.
He does seem to like to drive in
there
Japan.
There you have
so,
it.
We shall see. He, you know, he clinched, or basically clinched, one of his world championships there.
And not only that, but Fernando's going to want to go on a high because he likes Renault.
Well, they bought him two world championships. How could he not?
It's a happy family. There's going to be a lot of...
And I think he subconsciously believes he kind of owes them for
abandoning them
to go to McLaren before the season... before the season started. He should have kept that rumor going.
No, I think he's going for some really, really good podiums for the last few races. He's going to be the man about town at Renault, that's for sure. And he's going to do his best to teach Romain Grosjean in these last few races how to be a man.
A muy macho hombre.
I'm telling you, because it's over. Romain Grosjean will not be teammates to a world championship ever again. It's not going to happen.
Odds are against it, that's for sure.
The odds are highly against it. So I hope, you know, that Romain starts absorbing. I mean, if I was him, I would sneak into his bedroom and just sleep under his bed and just absorb anything possible to help him out. Because
catch the fallout?
Well, I haven't been too impressed with Grosjean.
I haven't been exceptionally either. A little bit better than Piquet, but not...
A little bit better?
But not...
My mom is better than Piquet.
I'm sorry. We're not supposed to bring that name up at the show anymore, huh?
That's true.
Okay. A little bit better than Heikki Kovalainen was when he was at Renault.
Well, he was a good number two. So, you know, I feel sorry for Grosjean because he's falling into the number two slot with Kubica coming to Renault, who I will think will be dominant, especially if Renault comes up with a good car. The R30, they've been developing for quite a while, and I see Renault back at the front of the spear.
Yeah, I'm thinking that hopefully that they'll be back. I think next year's going to kind of flatten the field. It's going to be more of the old dogs next year because of the fact, one, you're going to have a lot more moving roadblocks in the back of the pack, and teams like Braun, who don't really have as deep of pockets, won't be able to develop like they were able to do with their first car. It's kind of, you know, nail it this year, Braun, or otherwise you're not going to really get another chance unless you can find someone with, you know, who can really payroll, you know, pony up the dough.
Not only that, but when Braun arrives in Japan, oh my God, the Honda personnel teary-eyed, going, we could have been contenders.
Exactly. It's exactly the same thought I was having. I could have been a contender.
I mean, come on. Anybody who denies that this is not going to be an emotional meet is foolish. This is going to be brutal on Honda.
Well, it's going to be just as brutal on Toyota because they're so up in the air as to whether or not they'll be back.
No, the problem is the Honda decision, which Honda says right now they don't regret, Toyota could use that to justify the end of the road.
Yeah, because they don't have to compete.
Exactly. And don't forget, the mental attitude towards fiscal responsibility in Japan is completely different between what we have here or in Europe.
Yeah, well, you think... Frankly, for Toyota, Formula One's always been a marketing tool. It has not necessarily been a competition tool for them. They basically made their money or made their name in American motorsports in that regard. But
still, and they used to be in the World Rally Championship, and they've competed all over the globe successfully, including Le Mans. But still, they have failed miserably, and in 8 years, they have not been able to reach the top. The pinnacle of the podium. So there you have it. Real quickly, before we go to break, the limousine has pulled up and dropped off the Motorsports Mundial man himself. So, of course, I've got to get his opinion on the news finally coming out. Fernando Alonso in his pasta red uniform. Fernando.
Hello to everybody, but I still see a blue helmet on top of Mr. Muy Macho Hombre de San Jose.
That's right, because I do not jump off the bandwagon.
So, where will the allegiance be now? Alonso at Ferrari or Grosjean at Renault? I think what we're going to have will be a case next year of Muy Macho Hombre de Polonia.
Well, that's for sure. But I'm hoping, you know what, I like Robert Kubica. He's a man of integrity, works hard, good friends with everybody. And I think he's going to rattle Grosjean's cage at Renault. That's my opinion. I'll be rooting for the pole, even though I'll be hoping that Fernando comes in second behind Kubica in every race.
Well, Moa is very excited with Alonso going to Ferrari. This obviously was in the news for quite a while. Now it's confirmed. It will be very good to see him in a competitive package. And like I said, I would like to see him win his third championship the way he won his second, against good competition, fair and square. And it will be very, very interesting.
It's going to be very interesting. Yeah. Now, your thoughts on your former love, Kimi Raikkonen, against Lewis Hamilton. What kind of cage rattling will that be? Will Lewis Hamilton be a little bit intimidated by Kimi Raikkonen?
I don't think so. I mean, if he was not intimidated by defending two-time world champion, I'm pretty sure he would like to see, like all good drivers, knowing that at least competition will not come from your teammate, that I would say. I read somewhere that Hamilton camp, again, you know, it's hard to verify these things. I read a report that Hamilton camp has a clause that he can veto his teammate. I don't think McLaren is going to allow that. McLaren, Williams, Ferrari, they don't play these games.
That's true. But yeah.
Not only that, but the contract that Lewis is on at the moment, I could see that if he'd been on a contract for like 5 years and signed a new contract. But he's basically on his entry contract. There's no way they're going to write that into his entry contract.
Well, I have a question for you, sir. Is that an ING surplus shirt?
No, that's a Josh Verstappen shirt, if I ever saw one.
Yeah, Lost Boys.
Yeah.
He's looking very Dutch today.
Yeah, the House of Orange, if I ever saw it.
But I'm going to call him. My favorite team happens to be the San Francisco Giants.
Yes, sir.
Whose team is red or orange?
I'm going to call him Steve Von Fab from today.
But I think it's going to be interesting. Let's not forget that McLaren is managed differently now with Whit Marsh rather than Ron Dennis. Whit Marsh has admitted that he wished Alonso was still at McLaren, and he thinks he thinks he could have handled that better. Mm-hmm. He thinks he could have managed that, and even Norbert Hogg says we have no problem having two machismos.
Yeah,
they have two world champions.
Is Kimi at McLaren confirmed for sure? Record this,
I mean, it's not confirmed, yeah. But here at F1 Weekly, we have the inside story.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's the same kind of rumor that we've had about Alonso.
For the last two years. That's what
it's
it looks
pretty
like.
Much done.
Yeah, he's not going to go to Maynard or
exactly.
Lotus. India.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct. And not only that, but the way that Martin Whitmarsh was giggling when the BBC interviewed him post race last weekend, it was obvious he had a big grin on his face from ear to ear, but could not comment, of course, due to contractual reasons. But it was obvious that, yes, Kimi was going to McLaren.
Yeah. And, you know, now we're going to have a fair fight between Alonso and Massa. And I'm hoping he comes back fully fit and ready to go. He took part in some karting event,
correct.
I understand, so, which is good. Then we're going to find out how good, you know, Alonso is, how good Massa is. And, of course, if Kimi goes to Hamilton's camp, well, let's see how good both are.
Exactly. I think we're going to have even a better season because now we have two outstanding drivers at McLaren, similar to 2007. Now we have two great drivers, even though I still think Fernando will whip some Massa butt.
I think so, too, but you never know. Massa, you know,
Massa is impressed because Massa impressed extremely because Kimi was asleep.
Yeah,
but not only that, you got to remember, he came within a point of winning the world championship. He's basically a world champion once removed and really only lost that because Glock? Was it? No.
Glock. Yeah, Glock and the fuel thing. But yeah, the thing is, you know, Kimi Raikkonen asleep is still very quick.
That, I agree.
You know, that's the problem.
And you know what? I think this is going to be good for Kimi Raikkonen going back to McLaren. He might really get a little resurgence of energy and some fresher Finlandia, whatever it takes. And I think we're going to have a great season in 2010.
You know, I'm looking forward to not one, not two, but possibly three cage rattlings in different camps. Ferrari, McLaren. And the third one would be if it comes, reports are that Barrichello might go to Williams.
We were just talking
about that. And who is again fighting and doing a very good job. Just goes to show what a good driver can do in a good car. But I will go out on a limb and say that with all his experience and his talents and blah, blah, blah,
Nico
Hülkenberg might surprise him. I don't think he's going to rattle his cage like we saw in 2007, but, you know, he will not be floundering around like Kazuki or Piquet Jr., that's for sure.
It will be interesting, too, to see if you flip that coin to the other side, what kind of rattling Nico is going to be able to put on Jensen at Braun. And
Nico Rosberg, you mean?
Yeah.
Nico Rosberg, you know, Jensen Button, you know, is very quick driver. He gets a lot of bad rap because he took over 100 races to win a race.
Well, because he made a team decision.
Yeah, and I wish Nico Rosberg all the best, but I just don't think that he's going to rattle Jensen Button's cage. If I was a betting man, that's what I would bet on Button.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he may beat him every now and then, but he's not going to blow him away like Alonso did with PK.
I agree, but I think Nico Rosberg could be his equal for sure.
We'll find out.
Fairly smooth driver, quick. We'll see what happens. And not only that, but Braun, they may not have the car that they had this year.
Which is a lot of people are saying, but let's see what happens. You know, it's going to be a great season.
Yeah, let's finish this season first.
Yeah.
Well, I think this season is pretty much wrapped up. We're going to Suzuka. Steve, your thoughts on Suzuka before I go to break?
I'm looking forward to it. Maybe it won't be quite as wet as Fuji's been the last 2 years.
Yes. Nasser?
I'm ready for a cup of miso soup.
Me too. And I'll throw a little tofu in there just for laughs.
Oh, that's good.
There you go. So we'll take a quick break. We're going to come back with Motorsports Mondial. A lot more discussion on the 2010 season and the end of the 2009 season. So stay tuned. We'll be back after this brief message.
Are you between the ages of 8 and 80 and want to experience the thrill of wheel-to-wheel racing for yourself? Do you want a hobby that you, your family, or group of friends can share? The Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series, sponsored in part by Marin Karting, is the fast-growing Northern California series of the Rotex Max Challenge USA and can lead to an FIA-approved world championship. Rotex answers your dream of racing. With a reliable engine that's sealed, keeps carts on the same level playing field, your operating costs low, your fun level high, and your skill determining your success. Be your own number one driver as part of the Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series. Race on to norcalrotex.com to learn more. And see marincarting.com for Rotex engines, parts, and accessories.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial, and of course, Nasser Hamid.
A rainy night in Georgia. A rainy night in Georgia. Lord, I believe it's raining all over the world. I feel like it's raining all over the world.
Welcome to Motorsport Mondial. News, views, and motor racing information from around the world.
Greetings and racing regards. Today we have racing from Marina Bay to Monster Mile and a race rained out at Road Atlanta. And sir, we shall start with Formula One. I just want to say that Mr. Alonso dedicating his podium finish to Flavio Briatore, I thought that was very, very nice of him.
Classy.
Very classy because, you know, when the chips are down, you find out who your friends are. And regardless how much Flavio was involved in the crash gate. I really, really respected Alonso for doing that. So very nice and good of him.
I think so too. And let's not forget, Flavio has worked with some great racing drivers.
Oh yeah, and you know,
including Piquet's father.
Yeah, and you know, whether it's him or any other driver or person, you don't want to judge a career by one mistake, you know. But he is very defiant, he being Flavio. I think that's what got him in trouble. Okay, anyway, we are, you know, also, I'm checking, watching this practice going on, and seriously, I kid you not, for a second I thought Piquet Jr. was back in Singapore when Grosjean crashed during practice in the now infamous and renamed Piquet. Connor, how did you take that?
Well, for a minute there, I visualized Grosjean tied up in the back room in a closet and Piquet jumping in the car. Just having some weird delusional thing going on. That's what I pictured.
That's what I
thought.
There's
going to be a movie about this, by the way. I've been talking to Roman Polanski about it.
Don't tell me he'll say, oh, I'd like to have Danica Patrick as the lead driver. Going back 10 years?
Yep, something like that.
Okay. Anyhow, I thought that was strange. I thought maybe it's a sick joke by the marketing department, you know, playing on Max. But did you enjoy the race, sir?
I did. Loved it. Very good race. A little boring occasionally, but the tension sort of built up, and there were some good moments.
How about you, Mr. Favre? Mr. Steve Van Favre.
Yes.
I would agree with Mr. Rogers' comments in that it had its moments, but a lot of it was kind of follow the leader and not a lot of action. Again, you know, you get the first five laps where you see some action, and then it kind of falls into a strategy race.
Well, there was no passing.
You know, just my personal opinion, this novelty of night racing is over for me. I mean, Singapore, as beautiful as it is, it should really be seen in daytime. Night racing might work in Bahrain. Desert looks beautiful at night.
Does it?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, the other issue I think you run into in some place like Singapore, you almost have to run it at night just because of the heat.
Yeah, that's very
true. You're talking, they started this race, it was like 90 degrees with 80% humidity. Imagine what that would be like if it were daytime.
That's true. Open mind always wins. Okay, victory number 11 in less than 3 years of racing is very impressive and puts Hamilton one win ahead of 1979 world champion Jody Scheckter and the 1976 world champion James Hunt. That is very, very impressive. Yes, he has the equipment, but and so does Hecky for the last 2 years. What say you? You're very quiet on this matter.
I'm very quiet because I don't think it's that exciting. I mean, these statistics just get out of control.
Gets on the podium, and that's all exciting.
Exactly. Well, the other advantage that Lewis has is that he has more opportunities. In the 3 years that he's raced, he's probably raced a third more races than those guys did.
And the schedule is bigger now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Not very impressive.
Well, sometimes you should not have an open mind, I think. Okay, and we discuss all this, that Lewis's teammate next year might be a gentleman from Finlandia, but this time the quiet as a mouse, but quick as they come, if and when interested. So it will be interesting to see how Kimi Raikkonen adapts to this place again. But I cannot wait to see Pussycat Doll trying to get a smile out of Kimi Raikkonen. And something tells me that if Nicole was to inquire from Raikkonen what's the matter, most she will get will be no matter or as Martin.
I don't know. I mean, if she wiggles and wears the right dress, Kimi does lighten up, even though he's married and everything.
Yeah, we'll see. I think best chance for that would be to see him Sunday night in a bar in Corsica or someplace, you know.
Probably.
Then he might be in his element.
That's true.
But if Kimi ends up at McLaren next year, we can be assured that Martin Whitmarsh is not a control freak, which I think was a classic comment about Ron Dennis. And, Martin Brundle, I asked him, who had also driven for McLaren, if Kimi was right when he said Ron Dennis was a control freak. He says, no, Kimi was wrong. Ron Dennis is a super control freak. And I think Mr. Jan Magnussen may also agree with Martin Brundle. Button finally finished a race ahead of teammate Barrichello and now has a chance of wrapping up the title this weekend, as you were discussing in the pre-race show. And I think Red Bull drivers are out of steam now. I mean, one of them is already out of the contention.
Mark Webber.
Webber, yeah. But they could be a big threat next year.
And, oh, absolutely.
I got to tell you, Vettel, just from a racing point of view, would have been great to have in 2 years two youngest world champions. He must be regretting his mistakes in Australia. And
oh, absolutely.
I think it was in Monte Carlo also.
But that's the way it usually is. Look at Felipe from last year. He eliminates one retirement. He's world champion.
And I'd like to know how the Massa family is feeling about this Nelsinho, because he basically cost him the championship.
I'm sure they're probably giving him a call.
Yeah. And not very good for Nelsinho to do that. But anyway, Fisichella has brought some respectability to Luca Badoer's struggle in the races. I'm not sure if I should use the same word for Piquet Jr. based on how Grosjean is going in the few races he has done so far. And this really shows, you know, no matter how good you are, Formula One is a tough nut to crack. And the more people struggle against, Alonso really speaks how good he is, and it also speaks how good Lewis Hamilton is, because they were driving the same car.
And they both almost won.
They did. They self-destructed. But, I mean, really, seriously, if you look at it, I mean, your best gauge is always your teammate.
Absolutely.
And if you cannot beat your teammate, you know, then it's like, you know. We see in other series also, Luca Filippi was complaining about Grosjean getting preferential treatment. And I never thought, even said it, that I don't think Grosjean is going to rattle. I mean, if you look at, you know, when he left GP2, even in GP2, he was competitive, won races, but person leading the championship was Little Nico. So competition is always creeping
very
up.
Very tough. Yeah, it's very tough.
Yeah. And in other Formula One news, with Antonio Liuzzi, the Force India driver, is being chased by Force Italia. And you know how strong they can be. They come in a Ferrari sometimes. Antonio is being investigated for tax evasion by the Italian authorities. A few years ago, they visited the doctor, Valentino Rossi, and were rewarded with a healthy package of millions in back taxes. I think it was like $20-30 million in back taxes. Wonder how much he made. Moral of the story is, whether you are racing on two or four wheels, the man will catch up someday, and pay you will have to.
Exactly. You can't race away from the government.
Oh, yeah. Driver shuffle. Who knows who's going where right now as we record this. Some have Nico Rosberg at bronze, some at McLaren. I think, being the son of Keke, who's a pretty sharp cookie, and I think Nico himself is a pretty smart kid too, I don't think he would want to be, he should not be a teammate to Lewis Hamilton. That team is wrapped around him, and there are a few people who can, you know, rattle his cage: Sebastian Vettel, Alonso, and Raikkonen. I just don't see Nico Rosberg beating the hell out of Lewis Hamilton. Because, you know, what happens when you put a good driver against a good driver, they raise their game, or at least they should. So I expect some fireworks at McLaren if Kimi Raikkonen has thrown his NyQuil bottle. Vodka, I think, doesn't do much for him.
But yeah, that wakes him up.
Yeah, it's the daytime NyQuil that he was taking.
Bad.
Yeah, exactly. And then, but one thing is for certain, he is gone from Grove team, which is Williams, and another certainty at Williams is, if Toyota is gone, so is Kazuki Nakajima, and of course the question is who will replace them. And talking of Kazuki Nakajima, I thought he might go to Toyota, but them having not renewed Timo Glock's contract, I think they're going to pull the plug.
I will be discuss the same thing. Well, I think they're out by November.
I'll tell you, let me hold your hand here. Renault will be out in the next 6 months, too. They'll probably sell it out to...
I don't think so. I refuse to believe that. Renault is a rock of Gibraltar.
Well, actually, they might have sold it out to Flavio if he had got himself kicked out of the sport.
No, I think Renault is sincere, and I think part of the deal was to stay in Formula One with the FIA.
No, so has Toyota. No, but there were reports of that. Flavio might buy out... See, if the major players are not there, these people, you know, these corporations, they are like monkey see, monkey do. And you see that in every industry.
Yeah. I don't see David Richards going to this. David Richards has been talk.
Okay.
If he was going to be in Formula One, he'd be in Formula One. Because it's poppycock.
He already had a spot on the grid.
As far as I'm concerned, I put David Richards with Paul Stoddard.
No, it's a big difference. Anyway, you just want to believe that Renault will be in Formula One forever.
Anybody who tells me Renault's out, I will never believe it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. When the news comes, I'll send you a link. Anyway, moving on. Not much has been said from the Kubica camp, which tends to, I tend to think that he has already signed up somewhere, and most people are saying that he's going to Renault. And that's why I say he will become we have a case of Muy Macho Hombre de Polonia in the works. It'll be good to see him in a good team, and we'll find out how good he really is.
Absolutely, and Renault's going to save money with this driver lineup. They're cutting the belt. They're going to be in Formula One for the next 10 years. Machismo!
Yeah. And then if there is some cage rattling at Maranello, then Nando will go back to Renault again.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, there's no cage rattling in Maranello.
So he's going to...
His teammate's going to be Felipe Massa. Cupid doll is back.
Cupid doll, that can be...
Cupid doll's proven himself to be a pretty good racer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Occasionally he beats Schumacher. Drivers have bad days. But in the end, Massa and Schumacher, who's number one for you?
Well, we have the answer already before that question was asked.
It'll be similar.
Oh, really?
Oh, indeed.
I'd like to know, what was your call before the 2007 season started? That's what I want to know.
My call?
What was the call before the 2007 season?
I thought
number three in a row, 10 victories.
That's what I called.
Absolutely.
Actually, he called Fisichella world champion.
In 2007 for Renault?
No, what was his call on Alonso? I may have to go back to some old episode.
Yeah,
I know you said he's going to the dark side, but
But no, I thought he would win the world championship.
Because he was driving for Renault. But you threw Michael Schumacher a bone a couple of times that year, too.
2007 is when Fernando went to McLaren.
His first year at McLaren.
Correct.
Yeah, you picked Fisichella to win the world
Probably,
championship.
Probably, but that was in...
Emotional. It was an emotional response. And no, I'm convinced. This is a 3-year contract. He is going to win the championship. Yeah. There's no question in my mind.
I mean, everybody knows my bias towards Renault, and I like Fernando as a driver. Why hide it?
No, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, Telefonica to sponsor Campos team. Interestingly, you know who that managing director is? Back to the Future, Signor Daniel Odetto of Super Aguri and Ferrari fame.
I think it's great.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time.
He's a good man.
Very well respected. And, of course, talking of USF1, some people are pissed off that Bernie has expressed concern they might be on the grid next year. No sponsor has been confirmed as yet, and there is no word as yet on driver lineup. I just hope Ken Anderson and Peter Windsor will prove Bernie wrong in Bahrain, where the 2010 season will start. But I have to say something for a organization, USF1, with all the hoopla they created on the fan interest, blah, blah, blah. As we speak, there is no official announcement. Apparently, their website is not like a pretty fully functional website. So maybe they have some information that they are not sharing right now, but it's getting a little too late in the game to spring a surprise on people now. I mean,
it's already October.
Yeah.
These people have to come up with concepts, visuals.
Driver lineup,
animation on how the car is going to look on the track. All that should be out to get the people excited.
Aren't they one of the few teams that actually has a car nearing completion?
No.
And there are all sorts of reports. I don't know what the truth is. That they don't have the workforce they would need to roll a Formula One program. So I don't know what's going on. Let's just go. One thing I will say, this is a quote from Eddie Jordan when he was in Formula One. And he said that Bernie Ecclestone knows what's happening in Formula One before it even happens. So for him to mouth off, and he is not shy in expressing his opinion, if he's saying two teams may not be there, you know what? He may be right.
Absolutely.
So
he does know.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's a very important part of shaking, things happening in Formula One. Okay, now we come to famous last words. As we all saw in Singapore, Adrian Sutil pulled out what I would call a Paul Tracy move. As it happened on Nick Heidfeld, it did not look like it just looked like a racing incident, but when they played in, I watched on Speed TV, Speed Report also, I mean, the guy spun out, and he really, and then just ready to go. and then clipped the wing of Nick Heidfeld, so who was really pissed off. It was all over the media. And he said they asked him if some action should be taken against Adrian Sutil, and his response was, maybe we try to find a brain for him.
Ooh.
So,
and they're fellow Germans.
Yeah, but, you know, everybody do you remember some years ago when Nick Heidfeld and Schumacher collided in Australia?
Mm.
And that was pretty much, I would say, most people thought it was Michael Schumacher's fault. And Nick Heidfeld was a little pissed off at him, too. And the thing is, you know, wrong is wrong, you know, whether you're from Germany or Ghana is another story.
Well, you got to understand, Heidfeld, what was it, some ridiculously large number of races that he'd gone without a DNF?
Yeah, he was classified like 42 races. He had gone 42, some 40 plus. So Sutil broke his... Sutil probably thought that was Kimi Raikkonen going by.
Yeah, payback. Oh, yeah. Wait, that's blue and white, not red.
Yeah. Okay, Formula BMW Pacific. I got to tell you, man, keep an eye on this kid. Support race at Sepang with the Formula One race. Both races won from pole position by young Brazilian Felipe Nasser. This year's Formula BMW Europe champion. And if he was a stock and listed on the big board, I think Henry Blodgett would have a strong buy on him. And for once, he would be right. I think this kid, you know...
So he'd fly out there just to get into this race?
Yeah. Well, they do that because if you're taking part in a Formula BMW series, you are not supposed to take part in other series because it's for young drivers.
Right.
But they allow you a couple of races, I believe.
Well, didn't Formula BMW Europe just ended, so...
Yeah, so he was available. And
it shows you the quality of the drivers in BMW Pacific.
No, that's the depth of competition there is not very strong. But, you know, the thing is, when you win a race, it shows you can put together a winning performance, whether you're against it. Otherwise, you don't want to get 20-second lead and crash. And I think, you know, I've said to a lot of people in a racing conversation, if not every year, but at least every second year, somewhere in the world of motor racing, Motorsports Mondial, there is a fine of the year. And sometimes they fizzle out, sometimes they don't. But this kid could be the fine of... I have a feeling he could be the next Brazilian superstar. And he comes from a racing family. His dad runs a racing team, Amir Nasser Racing. So they've been around... The family has been around motor racing. And I just hope they don't do what Esteban Gutierrez did. You know, he won the Formula BMW Championship, dominating fashion, won 7 races, and then jumped straight to F3 Euro Series. Not the smartest thing you can do, especially if you have sponsorship available, which I understand was the case with Esteban, and you have a lot of talent, which I know he does. And I'll give you an example. The year Esteban Gutierrez raced here a couple of years ago as a rookie and won the rookie championship, Daniel Morad from Canada, who was very talented also, won the championship. So I was chatting with him one day recently, and I asked him, what do you think of Esteban Gutierrez? And he said, he is good, really good. So when it comes from a championship-winning driver about another driver, you know the kid has talent. So I'm looking forward to all these young drivers moving up. Okay, American Le Mans series from Road Atlanta. Rain, and more rain. Petite Le Mans turned into pouring Le Mans. Did you watch any of this?
I saw some of it.
Did you enjoy
it? It was
exciting. Peugeot was the end. Did you enjoy it?
Enjoyed the end, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, were you shell-shocked when McNish took the lead?
I refuse to believe it.
Okay. Talking of Alan McNish, apparently there is some sort of a function going on at... in December at Sears Point, Infineon Raceway, in conjunction with these people who do the Formula Jim Russell thing, and he's involved in some driver selection and evaluation. So Alan McNish will be there. So
F1 Weekly will be there, won't they?
Oh, will you be there?
I'll be paying your way, Nasser.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Wow. So if anybody wants to listen to some Scottish bagpipes, you know, head over to Sonoma. Okay, going back to the American Le Mans Series race here, the race was red flagged after 4 hours with Peugeot winning on American soil in the American Le Mans Series for the first time. Winning combination was Frank Montani and Stefan Sarrazin. And this gentleman has raced in Formula One, sports cars, world rallying, and he's a pretty competitive guy, so that's very impressive. Pedro Lamy and Nicolas Minassian were second in their Peugeot with the Audi of Alan McNish and Dindo Capello third. And I like to do a little bit of historical research when I read something.
Especially with these French teams.
Oh, only for them. Peugeot's success story in America goes back to the 1913 Indy 500, which would be the third running of the Indy 500, when Jules Gou won in a Peugeot, becoming the first non-American, which of course means the first European to win the race. And Peugeot also won in 1916 and 1919, but with different drivers. And then I did a little bit of soul-searching on Jules Gou. He is also recorded in history, and this was of much interest to me. He's also recorded in history as the winner of the very first Italian Grand Prix in 1921 at Brescia. And Brescia is the place where Mille Miglia used to start and end in Italy, of course. But the following year, 1922, the race moved to a park, and it's still resting there. But the park awakens come September. Si, signor, we are talking Parco Monza. And I have a friend, we used to work together, and she is from, she was born in Monza, and she's from a town called Cenisello, which is right next to Monza. And she's asking me if I would like to go there to the race with her in September next year. And would I ever say no to Formula Uno at Monza?
Twist my arm.
But in celebration, I will get you a rental Peugeot.
Rental Peugeot, wow.
For Monza.
Cool.
Good for you.
Lots of Citroen there.
Oh, yeah.
Citroen is, I'm sorry, Renault. I see a lot of Renaults all over Europe.
Italians know quality.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now we come to Formula Atlantic. Smooth sailing for Summerton. Jonathan Summerton dominated the penultimate round of the championship, leading every lap from pole position and is now second in the championship. He is second in the championship behind Simona Di Silvestro of Switzerland, who finished second at Road Atlanta, the Cincinnati kid John Michael Edwards, who won the season opener in Sebring. He came in third and is in the same position now in the championship. Final race is at Laguna Seca next month, and Moa will be there. Are you planning to attend, sir?
No, but you, I'm calling the Connecticut kid.
I'm the Karachi kid. And, you know, the first prize for Atlantic is $1 million,
mm-hmm.
and which I don't know how the split would be, but whoever wins it, but it should pay for any of these drivers if they want to go into GP3. The new GP3 car, by the way, powered by Renault. Beautiful looking car.
Of course, quality.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll be trying to stay in touch with all these young drivers as they move up.
Is that a realistic jump to go from Formula X to GP3?
Well, it depends who you are. If you are Jonathan Summerton, you have a lot of experience. You've raced in F3. No, you don't go there. But if you're John Edwards, 17, 18 years old, or Simona, it would be good for them. But I'll tell you right now, I feel sorry for any rookie driver who has not been in F3 who goes to GP3, because GP3 will be like GP2, all races on most of the races on Formula One weekend. So everybody wants to be in front of the Formula One people. Like Bernie Ecclestone is going to stand there for 30 laps and see what some 18-year-old is
doing. Like Bernie's going to even be at the track for the GP3 race.
Yeah, but so it will attract a lot of, you know, I expect kids like Felipe Nasr or some Valtteri Bottas, a lot of kids will go there because there will be some sort of a purse attached that you get a free GP2 ride or something like that, because it's all promoted by the same people, which includes Briatore. So it's going to be good. And I would really, really would like to see Edwards or Alexander Rossi, at least a couple of good American young kids in GP3. So they move up the system, you know, not just jump into Formula One, I'm going to kick ass, and then, you know, oops, they didn't give me the right car, or my coffee was not warm enough.
Out in a year and a half.
Yeah. Okay, A1GP, they are on the Gloria Gaynor program after news of Ferrari not supplying engines and cars in storage for unpaid freight charges. A press release from boss man Tony Teixeira said they will survive, and let's see how far this goes. Season starts in October at Surfers Paradise. They have the same chances of surviving as Renault in Formula One next season. I'm telling you, Clark, they're out. Hello, are you listening?
I am.
Okay. Now, well, you have to now listen. We've come to your favorite series.
Lunesca.
Okay, from the Monster Mile at Dover, Delaware, Jimmy Johnson started from pole with Monty sharing the front row with him. Monty is getting very percolated in NASCAR now in the chase. A.J. Allmendinger qualified 19th, while Scott Speed was 39th. This is a one-mile oval, and there were a total of 43 cars that qualified.
If you do the math...
This is serious racing, Clark.
The front... I mean, the back car... I mean, is there any room?
Yeah. My favorite part is the fact that they're starting to lap guys on lap three. If that late.
And now, then there's a yellow. Probably and a caution. And a tire fire.
Yeah. And this mighty fine concrete track was open in 1969. And the first cup race was on July 6th, the Mason-Dixon 300. And was won by the king of Dixieland, Mr. Richard Petty. And, oh, big news. Whew. Danica Patrick has signed a three-year extension to give Marco company in Team Pepito in the IRL. As soon as this came, the headlines all over webs was, oh, the rumors are now at rest for NASCAR, you know. But now today, oh, she's back in NASCAR.
Right, I heard try that some, too.
You know, we'll see what happens. But we wish everybody all the best on the track.
But this also means she's not in Formula One.
Yeah. Okay, we started out with some music from Georgia, or about Georgia. So we're going to end Motorsports Mondial with some musical Mondial. And we have one of my all-time favorite country and western tune here, The Night Lights Went Out in Georgia. So enjoy, and ta-ta.
Thank you, Nasser, for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. We'll be back with an update on the calendar and, of course, the wrap-up in 60 seconds.
Our shout-outs last week, let's get through them now. The podcasters at F1Weekly.com.
Hi, this is Alexander Rossi, 2008 Formula BMW America's and World Final Champion, and you're listening to F1Weekly.com.
And now, a quick chit-chat about the 2010 calendar, La Dolce Vita. Nas, welcome back, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
Hope the cafeteria treated you well.
Yeah, but I need a little reheat on the tea, if you could arrange that. If you could use your executive powers
that,
please.
I'll get the cafeteria girls over here as soon as they're finished with their break. Okay, quickly, who's on the cover of this outstanding and marvelous calendrier?
Okay, sir, this is a, like you said, La Dolce Vita, a tribute to the red blood of Italy, red cars. And so what we have is Mr. Mike Hawthorn, the first British world champion in a Ferrari, of course. Beautiful picture, and this picture is from the, it is from the Argentine Grand Prix. Looking very nice. And, you know, there's a different charm to the old type races. Tires are very narrow, the guy's just sitting there in his T-shirt, wearing goggles, you know, and just, you know, cruising along leisurely. So it's a beautiful picture, and I go through a lot of pictures before I select one for the cover. So to answer your question, we have Mike Hawthorn in the Ferrari on cover.
Is Prost in the calendar?
Well, of course.
We have rules here.
I mean, you know, very few world champions are fired by Ferrari. They are dying to get world champions in their team. So, of course, Prost is there, and he was very important, member of that team.
Absolutely, and this means that you probably have an outstanding and wonderful picture of Gilles Villeneuve.
Absolutely. Of course, you know, Gilles Villeneuve, you know, like I was talking to a friend of mine once, and I said, you know, people like Gilles Villeneuve, Ronnie Peterson, and I'm one of them among the fans who have remembered these drivers. They will be long remembered after a lot of racing fans have forgotten drivers who won championships.
Any other French drivers besides Prost?
Yeah, and Gilles Villeneuve's picture is from Monaco. Beautiful close-up shot. And the French driver, that's all you want to ask about?
That's my job.
Oh, really?
Okay, you remember? I get paid by the French tourist department.
The royalties come, how many times you mentioned Renault?
Exactly.
It's like clicking on Yahoo and click on Clark Rogers. Okay, you remember Jean Beira?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, so what I try to do every year, Mr. Rogers, is try to put in different drivers. So it's like if you have a collection of these calendars, you have a history of motor racing. So we have a picture of Jean Béra. And unfortunately for him, he was like on the Chris Amon program. Every time he won a Formula One race, it was a non-championship race. He won the Pau Grand Prix. He won the, you know, in the old days, if a country wanted to hold a Formula One race, you had to hold 1 year before earlier a Formula One race, but with no championship status. So when they had the 58 Moroccan Grand Prix, previously they had the 57, and he won that race, but non-championship, and unfortunately lost his life in an accident at Aarhus in Germany. And he's in a beautiful Maserati 250F.
When is this going to be ready to ship? I mean, we've got people hanging now on the edges of their seats. They want a calendrier.
Shipment commences in October of this year.
Of course, this is brought to us by Saison 73.
Yes, sir.
A quality outfit affiliated with F1 Weekly occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I call it a product of 30 years of passion.
So if people want to start ordering and put their order in, they can just email you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Any tidbits or any inside stuff?
Well, you know, I try to put in a lot of interesting information. Like, for example, you will find out from talking about Alain Prost that he was the one who gave Ferrari the 100th Grand Prix win at Paul Ricard, of all the places. Then the 200th win for Ferrari came in China, 2007. Courtesy of Kimi Raikkonen. So he may not talk much, but he sure can deliver when he wants to. So those kind of stuff. And one thing I put in that, you know, it's something very personal to me. I used to borrow a book from British Council Library. It was it had Jackie Stewart on the cover, and all the pictures, the few were black and white. And it's just about Grand Prix motor racing. And it said it had a small segment about Lorenzo Bandini, you know, a gentleman who was killed tragically in the fire at Monaco in 1967. And it says, you know, born in Barche, in the Italian province of Barche, Cyrenaica. And for years and years when I lived back home, I used to look at maps and try to look where Barche, Cyrenaica is. Could not find it. Come here, look at all these big globes and maps and, you know, whatever is available here. I couldn't find Barche, Cyrenaica in Italy. And then some years ago, I found out that it's actually in Libya, and he was born of Italian parents. And I knew, I met an Italian lady, a Libyan lady one day, and says, hey, is there a place called Cyrenaica? She said, yeah, it's the province, one of the provinces where Benghazi is. So I put that also, that he was born in Barche, Cyrenaica. So it's a lot of motor racing information, and I hope people enjoy it.
And, of course, it's going to be in different languages?
Yes, sir. English, Francais, and Deutsch, German. So hopefully, you know, it will, and I want people to read these things and enjoy the information. I mean, I spend a lot of time trying to double-check, cross-check, but I'm only human. If somebody finds a mistake, shoot me an email, please.
Well, that's great. I can't wait to see and get my free copy as the host of F1 Weekly, and of course, this is going to be $15.95. Plus shipping.
Plus tax.
Federal excise tax, state tax, European tax, and of course, Clark Rogers tax.
Yeah.
To cover my salary.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Nasser. Look forward to the artwork and getting those calendars shipped out, because I will be helping you lick the stamps. Okay, let's go right to the wrap-up. We have no forum updates, no emails, because we are out of time. And I'm just going to go right to it. SFF1.com, Formula One Group in San Francisco. They'll be at the Kezar Pub and Restaurant at 770 Stanion between Beulah and Waller. You can give them a call at 415-386-9292 in beautiful downtown San Francisco, or just go to the website, www.sff1.com. Marin Karting is proud to organize and support the 2009 Jim Russell Northern California Road Tax Series. Marin Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support. to Northern California Carters. For more information, just go to marinecarting.com or give them a call at 415-898-0999. I want to mention our MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter. Of course, the activity is just never-ending. So go to those beautiful places and make us a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@f1weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program, from myself, Steve Faub, Nasser Hamid, and of course our executive producer, David Tapia, and our webmaster, Toby Dawes. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.